Encourage others on your teams to, they need to be here, because we cover a lot of things in these settings that we're not really going to carve out the time to talk about in a Sunday morning. So help us make sure that all of our regulars and everybody get here for these things. I do want to hit on just a couple quick calendar items before I dive into what I want to share tonight. The first is that next Sunday, or Saturday, we are going to be out feeding the homeless down on 41 by Must Ministries. It's a thing we've teamed up with another group to do, and we're just going to be down there serving about 100 homeless people who when we went there, I think it was right around Thanksgiving, it was just amazing to see all the people coming out of the woods and out from under the bridges and everything else. So we're going to be doing that next Sunday, Saturday, why do I keep saying Sunday? Next Saturday at 4, if you would like to be a part of that, let me know. Also, as you see our pile over here, that's a nice size pile, but we need it to be a lot bigger. We are collecting jackets and coats, so if you can go through your closets or hit Goodwill, whatever, we're going to be collecting jackets all week long. You can drop them by the church, and we are hoping to be able to hand out jackets to a lot of those folks that we're going to be feeding next Saturday as well. And kind of on that front of helping others, I also want to thank so many of you who were a part of making the House Angels fundraiser such a big success last night. Give them a hand. For those of you who weren't there, it was an amazing time. Our drama team did a fabulous job with all the skits and comedy and everything else. Joe Melton was there doing music, and there were so many folks working behind the scenes, pulling that thing off, serving food, and it was just an amazing endeavor, and we just want to thank all the folks who helped make that a success. For those of you who do not know, House Angels is an amazing ministry that works a lot helping single moms, senior citizens, things of that nature, kind of doing a little bit of like a mini home improvement makeover deal, kind of going in doing home repairs and stuff. Sometimes they're fairly major. Sometimes they're really small things. I know next Saturday they're going to be out helping a single mom in our church with some work on her home. I think a couple weeks after that, there's another single mom in our church that they're going to be helping. So if you are interested in being a part of that House Angels deal, let me know about that as well, and I will put you in touch with Thomas King, who is our coordinator for that here at Eagle Point. I know he could not be here tonight. He's visiting family, but let me know, and I will hook you up with him as well. Next Sunday, we're also doing baptisms here as a part of our worship services, so I hope you all will be here to cheer on and celebrate those folks who are taking that step, and we're also kicking off that new teaching series called Supernatural, which I'm telling you is going to be, we've been on quite a roll here at Eagle Point, and it's all him, because as I was already trying to get ahead before I go to Haiti and working on the messages for that whole series, I kept going, "You're good, man. You're good. I'm not this good. You're good, man." So I really want to encourage you to be here and bring some folks with you. And again, we do have our Haiti trip coming up. Please pray for our team. It's a lot going on down in Haiti right now. Just pray for us. Pray for the work that we're doing. Pray for the supplies and everything that we're trying to round up. And if you are not connected with me on Facebook or Twitter, do so. I'll be posting several times a day, giving updates about the work that we're doing down there. Now, let's dive into what I want to chat about. The last two momentums that we've gotten together, we have talked about how in this past year, we've been kind of hitting against what is called in church circles the 500 ceiling. I know the first little bit tonight will be a review for some of you. Others of you, this is new stuff. But we've been kind of hitting against what is called in church circles as the 500 barrier. And basically, in the last year, our church has been kind of pushing up against that. We dropped down a little bit, pushing up against that, dropping down a little bit. And we are currently running about 400, 450 people, counting kids and teens, adults, the whole bit. I was very encouraged this morning. It's been kind of cool to see what God's been doing in the last couple months. We had 297 adults here this morning, and that's not counting. I don't have no idea that I haven't heard the numbers on kids and teens and so forth, but that was a very good Sunday for us. And I was especially excited to see that 10 people committed their lives to Christ this morning. So that right there is what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? That was good stuff. Now, one of the things that I've shared about this 500 barrier is that it's common, but not so common. Meaning that only 60% of the churches in the U.S. have in them about 100 people or less, 60%. 80% of the churches in this country today have 250 people or less in them. And according to the Hartford Church Research Institute, only 6% of all churches in this country make it above what is called the 500 barrier, which is why I say it's common, but not so common. In fact, most churches don't even come close enough to even consider pushing through this barrier. Now, I and the leaders of our church believe that God wants us to. And I'm not going to get into all the details of this and spend time on it tonight, but just for those of you who are going, oh, what does this mean? Our goal is never to have, like, you know, thousands of people in one location. We want to grow to a size that we have the people and the resources to be able to plant other locations, other campuses, and so forth. So that's kind of the deal that we're working on. And if you recall, I think it was in September when we did our big tailgate party tied in with my favorite college football. We brought up a big whiteboard, and you all helped us identify some of the things that we need to work on and some of the things that might be hindrances to us pushing through that barrier. And I'll just do a real quick review on some of that before I dive into what I want to share with you tonight. We talked about volunteers. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now because most all of you are serving in ministry teams, and thank you for that. But we need more and more people helping jump in and serve in ministry here. Now, I will tell you that in church circles, we have a very high percentage of people in our church who are serving in ministry, percentage versus those attending and serving. We have a very high percentage who are actually serving. But the nature of the type of ministry that we do, the way that we do our Sunday mornings, we need a lot more people than most churches serving to pull off what we do. But we need your help recruiting, doing that shoulder tapping, all those kinds of things. We've also talked about on the connections front, trying to get people connected and keep them connected in the church. And I believe our teams have done an amazing job. I know I've bragged on Tim Roman and the Coders and the Kellers and the Irics and so many others on that front who have stepped up and are leading in some big capacities, helping us connect people in teams, in life groups, getting them coming on a regular basis, in the pizza with the pastors, membership class, and so forth. And as great as our teams and leaders are doing right now, the reality is that really until we get somebody on staff who kind of lives and breathes getting people connected and keeping them connected, we're going to continue struggling a little bit on this connections front. Another area that we've talked about is leadership development, and we're working hard on this one. We need more and more leaders raising up in this church, and some of the things that we're doing to help out is that we're offering coaching, we're offering volunteer staff meetings, which is in the evenings for all of our different ministry leaders to talk through things and do some coaching. We're doing some online ministry training right now. Just some great practical tools to help ministry leaders. And if you want to be a part of that, even if you're not a ministry leader yet, hit me up. I can add you to the list that we're sending those out to. I've also set up a new blog that's linked up to my blog, howardjkepke.com. And basically what I'm doing on there is I'm sharing all the podcasts, seminars, things of that nature that I am learning from. I'm sharing what I'm learning with our leaders and any of you that might want to go check that thing out. So I encourage you to do that. The other area that we talked about was staffing. We've talked about how for a church our size, we have a fairly small staff. We also have Jonathan Napier, as most of you know, is going to be leaving in a few months to head down to Noonan, Georgia, to start a new church. And that's a cool thing. But we need more help here at Eagle Point Church. And I want to thank some of you. It would take a while to go through and name names, but there are so many of you in this room tonight who are serving at some very high levels, giving a lot of your time while still trying to juggle jobs and families and all of that, and we really appreciate you doing what you do. But as great of leaders as we have, there's only so much we can do as a church through volunteer leaders giving a few, if not several, hours a week to this thing. So please join us in praying about that. Another area that we've talked about addressing is, I guess the churchy word is evangelism. I would say we need to raise the evangelistic temperature in our church, that we need all of us passionately trying to reach our entire community for Christ. We need all of us out there trying to seek and save that which was lost, as Jesus said that he was all about. We need us trying to build the church of Christ, which is what we should be about. And we need all of us, man, just out there working it, man. We give you the tools. We put stuff online, social media, videos, invites, invites, all kinds of stuff for you to use. So we encourage you to use that and help us talk about that in our teams and groups and raise, as we say, the evangelistic temperature of our church. We've also talked about our building, which is, as I call it, the restrictor plate on us right now. And as some of you heard me say, I really do believe that we have been very, very good stewards of this building that God has given us. We've made this thing work a lot longer than most churches could have been able to make it work. And I think that is hugely in part to you all and your creativity and your whatever it takes spirit. And I hope that you keep that forever. But we do need to figure out how to expand, how to add more seating, how to add more parking, and things of that nature. So join us in praying about that as well. The other area that we've hit on is finances. You know, finances are pretty tough for us right now. And all these big things that we've talked about, the staffing, the building, that's going to take us to increase our finances here at Eagle Point Church. And I just want to encourage you to pray about that and see what God might lead you to do to step up your support of what he's doing here. I'm not going to beat this subject to death, but the reality is that money is about as tight as it's been in a long time here for us. And in a church our size, we shouldn't be struggling this much. So please pray about that. Please help us talk to others about that. And let's see if we can increase our financial deal here at Eagle Point Church. Now, here's what I really want to share with you tonight. In the last couple months, I've been spending a lot of time praying about and really trying to wrap my brain around those things that I've just listed, thinking about the people that we are reaching, who are coming through our doors, and really just asking God to help me better understand the challenges we face in reaching people for him and pushing through this barrier. And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to share with you some of the realizations that God has been sharing with me over the last couple of months. Now, the reality is in church circles, there's this thing called the back door. You may or may not be familiar with it, meaning people come into a church and some people wind up leaving out, as they call it, the back door of the church. And that's just a reality in every church. Now, a lot of churches would say you need to close the back door completely. I say no, absolutely not. I mean, realistically, the people who come through doors of any church, not all of them are meant to be a part of that particular church and what God is doing there. And I don't mean to be gross, but if you think about it from a biological standpoint, if your back door was closed, that wouldn't be a good thing. I mean, constipation is not a good thing, okay? There's some things you want to pass through your body, and the same thing is true with the church. However, our church's back door is probably, rather, it's not nothing probably, it is open a good bit more than we would like it to be. And some of that is that connections thing that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. And we do need to close it to a certain degree. Now, some of this has to do with the type of church that we are and who we're reaching. As some of you have heard me talk about before, I call us a church for anybody, but not for everybody. Meaning anybody is welcome here. Anybody is appreciated here. Anybody is accepted here. But not everybody is going to like what we do and how we do it. That's just the reality of the situation. And as I've been praying about this thing, God's been kind of showing me some of the specific challenges that we face in terms of reaching people, but, you know, getting them connected, keeping them connected. For some, it happens quickly. For some, it takes a while. And for some, it just doesn't happen at all. And I've just really been trying to figure this thing out. So I want to share with you some different groupings of people. And this isn't bashing anything. It's just, you know, I needed to know, and I want you to know what we're dealing with, because some of these people I'm going to describe tonight are sitting in your life group. Some of these people I'm going to describe tonight are sitting next to you on Sunday mornings. And this isn't they're a bad people thing. It's just a reality of what you're facing, what we're dealing with, and so that we can all be more mindful of that and work towards helping them through some of these things. And I will tell you that I firmly believe that there is a big-time spiritual battle being waged in all of this. There is a spiritual enemy who wants the people that we're reaching to not get connected in a church, to not get connected to God. And we need to understand that we are truly fighting for people's souls here every single day and every single weekend. So let me share with you a couple of the groups of people that God's been kind of helping me really get some clarity on what it is that we're dealing with. First of all, I would say that we reach some unchurched people, meaning people who have never been to church. But you know who we reach a whole lot of? What I would call de-churched people. We reach a whole lot of people who have not been in church in years because they had a bad experience, because they didn't see the relevance, or whatever the case might be. That is who we are reaching a great deal of. And most of these people are coming back to church just kind of trying it out, you know? They figured, you know, maybe they've got kids now and they think the kids need it or something of that nature, but something has kind of sparked them to feel the need to go try out church. Now, with these people, it is hard to get them in the habit of coming to church every week. It is really hard. In fact, I would contend As I've really been kind of thinking through this and praying through this, I would contend that we have actually a whole lot more than 400 and 450 people coming to our church. Because we have a large number of people who are only coming about once a month, maybe twice a month. And you know what? To them, this is their church. That's the level of commitment they have yet. And to them, it's their church. I'll give you a great example. Some of you heard me talk about this before outside of Sunday morning setting. But I have this happen quite often. I'm walking into the Walmart over here on 41. And I see this lady who I do not recognize from Adam, okay? And she looks at me and goes, "Pastor Howard." And I went, "Okay." I'm smiling. "Hey." And she's got friends with her, and she starts introducing herself, her friends to me, and still going, "This is the pastor of our church," and she's going on and on and on. And I'm looking at her like, "Really?" You know, and I'm trying not to let it show. But in the course of talking to her, she'd been here literally like three times since Thanksgiving. But to her, this is her church. To her, this is what she calls her church home. So again, for a lot of these people, it is hard to get them to move to that where, you know, church is more of a priority than sleeping in or cutting the yard or doing whatever it is they do on Sunday morning. For them, coming once or twice a month is a pretty big stinking deal. Now, the analogy I use a lot for these kind of people in helping our ministry leaders understand this is that for them, the analogy is a lot like when you go to a gym to work out. You know the type, I mean, we just had New Year's not too long ago, right? And people make that New Year's resolution, and they're all excited. They're going to hit the gym. And some of you are going, "Yeah, that was me." And, you know, and they're all pumped up, and they start going. And, man, they go for a few weeks or maybe even a few months. But then something happens, and they fall out of the habit. They don't go one day, and then they don't go another day. And next thing you know, they've fallen completely out of the habit of going to the gym. Listen, we see that a lot in this church setting. We really do. And so just like the gym, you know, all of us, when it comes to physically working out at the gym, we need accountability. We need a partner many times. We need somebody who's encouraging us, "Come on, come on, come on." And the same thing is true in a church like ours. And I would say to you, I know some of you are in this boat. Man, you have invited and invited and invited and invited somebody to come to church, and they finally came and checked it out. And you know what? Congratulations. Great job. But please know that your job is not done with that person yet. You're going to need to keep inviting them. You're going to need to keep encouraging them until they move from that resolution stage to that lifestyle stage, where being in a church and putting God first has become a part of their lifestyle. Is that making sense? All right, here's another group. And these are people whose lives are crashing down around them, but they're looking for a magic pill. We reach a lot of these people, man. You know, their marriages are crashing and burning. They're financially in distress. They've lost their job. They're having fits with their kids, whatever. And they are coming to church as almost a last resort, looking for that magic pill that is going to miraculously fix them and their lives and their families and their finances and all those kinds of things. And then what happens is after they've come for a few weeks, even several months in some cases, and God has not miraculously parted the Red Sea in their problem, whatever it is, they get angry at God and consequently angry at the church. And then they slip away. And we see that a lot in this church. Again, this isn't they're bad people. It's we need to be mindful of this stuff so that we can encourage and help these people who might be in these categories. Another group is people who have been through a really bad time in their lives. They come here. They get healed up. They get helped. And then they get kind of embarrassed about being here. And some of you are going to say, "What?" Here's what I mean. This is the type of church where a lot of people feel very accepted and welcome. I mean, our first-time guest cards, we ask people to fill out, every single one of them, friendly, amazing people, "I felt welcomed here," all this kind of stuff. So they come, and they feel so at ease to just be themselves and to just open up about their problems and their issues and all these kinds of things. And they come here for a while, and they get helped. They get healed up and so forth. And then once they're kind of helped and healed up and their marriages, their lives, whatever the case might be, are tracking in the right direction. Listen, as much of a spiritual battle was being waged when they were beginning to get plugged in here, as soon as they begin tracking in the right direction and getting kind of helped and healed up, our spiritual enemy really turns up the heat. Because at that point, and I can list out several folks who fall into this category who aren't at this church anymore. All of a sudden, they're coming through our doors. And as much as we all know we're all messed up and we accept each other and, you know, good night, we all got tons of baggage and all that kind of stuff. As that person is walking through the doors, our spiritual enemy is whispering to them, people are looking at you. They're judging you. They're seeing you for who you used to be. They're not seeing who you are. And to you and me who know our church and know our people, you're going, dude, that is ridiculous. Nobody here thinks like that, looks at people like that, anything like that. But that's what our spiritual enemy does to people. And consequently, sometimes people leave so they can go somewhere else and be viewed as their new person rather than their old person. But again, that's just some of the psychological head games that our spiritual enemy plays with people. Here's another group. People coming from different church backgrounds. And typically they're coming from another church upset about something, okay? And they wind up coming here. Now here's what happens with these folks. They come here, they're upset at another church, whatever the case might be. And you know what, man, we are a breath of fresh air. I mean, they just love it. They dig it. I mean, it's so freeing. It's so everything here. And they're here for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, when the newness kind of wears off, they begin to miss their more traditional style of way of doing things. You know, and that's just human nature. We all kind of slide back into what we're comfortable with, what we're used to. And we see this happen quite a bit. In fact, without giving names, I remember a family who left our church probably about 18 months ago. And I never understood why they left. And then about 2 months later, I ran into the husband somewhere. And he tells me, man, me and my wife just loved Eagle Point. And this is what he said. He said, I don't get it, but she just really, really, really wanted to go back to a more traditional church where, and I quote, she can get yelled at and made to feel guilty every Sunday. Okay? But that's just part of what we're dealing with. On the other hand, there are people who come and they're used to a certain way of doing things. Their old church used to do it this way. They don't like that we don't do it that way. And that's okay. That's okay. That's what the back door is for, all right? As my pastor and mentor, Dan Sutherland, told me years ago in his East Texas accent, he said, Howard, if people leave another church upset and come to your church, there's a real high likelihood they're eventually leaving your church upset. And that's just part of the situation, okay? All right, here's another one. This is a big one in our setting. People don't like that we push them to do more than just warm a seat on Sunday morning. That is real big here. People don't like that we push them to do more than just warm a seat on Sunday morning. Listen, we push people. I admit it, okay? We push people. And a lot of people don't like to be pushed. They don't like to be challenged. They come for a while and they get upset because we're always talking about getting in groups. We're always talking about getting on teams. We're always talking about getting outside of the walls of the church and helping those people and whatever the case might be. And they get upset and don't like that. They don't want to do that. They just want to attend the church, check off their little box, and feel good about themselves because they gave God a whole hour a week and dropped $5 in the offering basket. That's just not who we are. And that's just part of the reality of the situation. It's not necessarily good or bad in terms of us or them, but it's just part of the deal that a lot of people don't like to be pushed. And I had somebody a while back telling me, you know, you push too hard, you push too hard. I said, dude, I said, listen, I said, I've really wrestled with this for years because I hear that comment a lot. I said, but here's what I'll lay it down at. You go read the New Testament. You go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you find me one time where Jesus wasn't challenging people, where Jesus wasn't pushing people, where Jesus wasn't pushing them to take another step in their spiritual journey, and I'll consider backing off. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Now, here's another one, and I think this one is also pretty huge. You know, our church is a lot like that spiritual lighthouse, if you will, that for people who are seeking. I think a more accurate description of us is that we are more of that hospital, more of that ER for people who have just been beaten up and wounded by life. I mean, that's really who we are, who we attract, who God is bringing through our doors. It is people who are coming to the spiritual hospital, the spiritual ER, because they have been beaten up and wounded by life. And here's the reality. In our setting, you have some people that come and they get helped they get healed up, and then they move on. That's not good or bad. It's just what it is. They get help, they get healed up, they move on. But there are others who come, and they get helped, and they get healed up. And then they decide, you know what? I want to stay and work in the hospital. I want to stay in the hospital and work there and help others get helped and healed up. And you know what? We need a whole lot more people like that. In fact, that describes most of you in this room tonight. And I want to thank you for being the kind of people who decided, even though I got helped and healed up and I've got tons of, you know, as we talked about today, lots of growth and lots of everything, I still want to stay here and help others get helped and healed up. And again, I want to thank you for being those kind of people. Now again, this isn't anything to be upset or depressed or whatever about. This is just the reality of the situation that we face and the spiritual battle that is being waged. Now, this kind of thing, I would say as early as 4 or 5 years ago, may have made me pretty upset. You know, just angry or whatever. Not anymore. Some of you have heard me talk about before, maybe this is just me growing up a little bit or maturing a little bit, I don't know. But you know what, I'm a whole lot more content today. I would rather today be a mid-sized church, whatever mid-sized means or what that looks like, I don't know. But to be a mid-sized church of sold out, passionate, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ than have a stadium full of lukewarm Christians. That's just the reality, man. That's just where I'm at. Now, I will never, ever, ever stop trying to reach as many people as I possibly can for Jesus Christ. But I'm okay with being a mid-sized church, whatever that may look like, of just passionate, sold-out followers of Christ like you all in this room, than be able to get up on Sunday and speak to a great big stadium full of lukewarm Christians. That's just where I'm at. Now, these things that I've shared with you tonight, in addition to, as I talked before with you about this, that in a church like ours, finances is always, always, always a problem. The things I've shared with you tonight, in addition to finances always be a problem, is why so many churches who have tried to be the kind of church that we are get 6 months, a year, 2 years into it, and say, this is too much work. This is too hard. No, and they give up. They just quit. And I want to thank you all for being the kind of people that decided to stick with this thing and be the type of church that we are. Now, here's one other thing that we need to recognize, and I fully admit. In some cases, if not quite a few cases, I have not done a good enough job in getting people connected here. And as I've said, we're working on it. We're trying. Some of it has to do with until we have a staff member, you know, we're going to continue struggling. I can't do it all by myself, even with the amazing volunteers that we have. But yes, we, in many cases, are the ones dropping the ball when it comes to getting people connected, keeping them connected. We see fairly often people coming, great people, love what's going on here, and we have allowed them to slip through the cracks. I have allowed them to slip through the cracks. And I share that with you to help me. You hear me talk about this all the time. I need your help. I need all of you helping on Sunday mornings, man. Meet people you don't know. Sit next to people you don't know. Invite them to your life groups. Invite them to your teams. You know, you notice somebody's not here a week or two. Call them up. Email them. What's up? You doing okay? How can we pray for you? Whatever. Help us keep track of these people that God is bringing through our doors. Now, we've done some things, especially in this last 6 months, that I think have really helped us, and we're seeing it bear some fruit right now in terms of more life groups, in terms of men's ministry, doing some different things. We got another cool thing coming up soon that you're going to be hearing about. We've got our Women in Focus deal going on the third Thursday of every month. And ladies, you ought to be at Women in Focus, helping get connected with some other ladies in our church and helping them get connected. But these are all things that we are seeing help us greatly in terms of connecting people and keeping them connected. But again, it's going to boil down to at some point, we got to raise our church's finances to the point of bringing on a staff member to help with this. Now, You might be tempted to look at what I've shared with you tonight and kind of view it as a downer or a depressing, and I want you to know I certainly don't. I don't at all. In fact, I'm encouraged by it. I'm encouraged by it because I now have a little bit clearer picture of what it is we're trying to accomplish and in these different people's lives, what it is that we need to be doing to help meet some of what they're struggling with. And some of you know this about me. I don't mind a fight. I don't mind going into battle. What I don't like is going into a fight, and I don't know exactly who my enemy is. And I don't know exactly what it is that I'm about to go up against. But I don't mind going into a fight when I'm aware of this thing. So I believe that now, I hope you all have soaked this in, and I would hope that on Sunday morning you're going to kind of look around and see all the people you're chatting with and all the people sitting around you and kind of think about who might be falling into what categories. And again, it's not a negative reflection on them. It's who we're reaching. It's people that are disconnected from God and His church and people that just haven't learned any better yet. So I want to encourage you to kind of look through that lens this Sunday and every Sunday as you interact with the people here at this church. So bearing all that in mind, I just want to challenge you, let's get after this thing. Let's get after our community. Let's get after the people on Sunday morning, helping them get connected and stay connected here at Eagle Point. As you hear me say quite often, if we let them slip away, we have just lost that God-given opportunity to impact them and their family for Jesus Christ. So let's get after those people that God is bringing through our doors on Sunday morning, helping them get connected and stay connected. Let's keep inviting, even though people that you've invited in have come, keep on inviting them, keep on encouraging them until they move from that resolution stage to the lifestyle stage. Let's just keep at it. My one last thought is this. I think a key thing that we have to remember is that one of the biggest parts, the biggest keys, I guess is a good way to say it, to truly living out the Christian life the way that Jesus Christ desires us to live it out, is that we have a heart and a mindset that truly says, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about those who do not yet know His Son Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what it's about. Some of you heard me say before, I believe that a real mark of spiritual maturity in our lives is when we can honestly say, it is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what makes me happy. It's about Him. It's about them who don't know Him yet. And if you think about it, and again, this isn't a negative reflection on people. It's just a reality. They haven't learned better, whatever the case might be. But all these different groupings of people, most rather of those groupings of people that I listed out for you tonight, for them, because they haven't learned any better, it is about them. It is about them. And we need to help move them along on that journey to the point that they understand that it's not about me. So again, I want to thank you for being here. I will tell you that I've been greatly encouraged in the last 6 months. I would say especially the last 2 months. It has been pretty remarkable to see what God is doing here. We're seeing our church beginning to grow again. We're seeing lots of new people getting into life groups. We're seeing people committing their lives to Christ, getting baptized, marriages getting healthy. I mean, it's just been a pretty cool ride here recently. But I will tell you that I really do believe with all of my heart that we ain't seen nothing yet. I think that God, in fact, if you go on that new blog that I mentioned, just go to my blog, over on the right-hand side, you'll see Leaders or Learners. Listen to a great podcast by a guy named Perry Noble, a pastor out of South Carolina. And he talks about in there that sometimes when you hit that plateau, you're kind of, you know, like not you know, you just kind of feel like you're stagnated a little bit. In a lot of cases, that is God preparing you. It's God preparing you for what He's about to do. He knows you're not ready for it yet. But I really do believe that God is preparing us for what He's about to do. I think we need to keep raising up leaders. We need to keep getting healthy. We need to keep starting groups. We need to keep doing all the things we've been doing. Because I really do believe that we ain't seen nothing yet. So I want to thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. I am truly honored and blessed to be your pastor. And I think that the next couple of months is going to be a pretty amazing ride. Right now, I'm going to ask Mr. Tim Roman to come up and close us in a word of prayer. Tim, come on up and join us, buddy.
Hey, okay. I got to say, I hope you guys feel blessed about being part of this congregation. If you think about it, big things happen. It starts small. And Howard's not kidding when I believe him when he says that 2012 is, you just haven't seen nothing yet. We joked at one point that Eagle Point is the biggest church and the smallest building in Cobb County. And you all need to be proud of that and feel humble to be part of what's going on here. He asked me to close this out, so let's pray. God, we give thanks for this time, for this night, for this body of one, Lord God. You just didn't call one person to lead, Lord Jesus. You called all of us. You called all of us into your kingdom. You called us here to this church. Some of us have been hurting. Some of us were lost, and the enemy tried to separate us from you, and we heard you calling. We were invited. We were called to come here to see you, to seek your face, to seek your wisdom. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in the middle of something big, bigger than ourselves. God, we give thanks for that time. We give thanks for that opportunity to be humbled before you, just to go forward and to share the mercy you gave us to other people, to bring them in, to receive them, and to invite them to what it is you're doing here in this church. So now we're part of a body of one, your church, each according to their gifts, Lord God, that you've given us, each according to everything that you've blessed us with, that we can reach others for this community, for this county, for this state, and wherever else we go, Lord Jesus. You put people in front of us to where we can invite them to your kingdom. But it all started here. Thank you, God, for putting that into our hearts. Again, we are proud. We are humbled. We are humbled by your grace and your constant giving each and every day. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Let us continue to charge the field in faith and to continue to do your work beyond the confines of the walls of this church. The church is us, the people. And again, all great things that happen, Lord God, it starts small. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of this foundation. It's in your glorious Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's it, guys. I guess that's it, right? Any other singing? No? That's it? Okay.